Welcome to After Dark, Robin Andrew, on the America Out Loud platform. My guest tonight, or my co-host tonight, is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. And tonight, we're going to discuss this ceasefire that the Biden administration, Tony Blinken, is trying to push. But before we get to that topic, just want to find out how my co-host is doing tonight. It's Tuesday night. Heather, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Rob. Thank you. How are you?
Good. We're coming off of Super Tuesday. We expected the results as we saw them. They're coming in now. I think that 16 states were voting, and I think Trump is going to do well. Mm-hmm. I think that at this point, Nikki Haley should see the writing on the wall and step aside. We know that she did win the D.C. primary this past Sunday. She mm-hmm. won that. D.C. is a predominantly Democrat state. And I'm sure a lot of people, not state, but a district, and a lot of people switched over to vote for her. And I would mm-hmm. think she would realize that they're not voting for her because they want her in office. They're mm-hmm. voting for her because they don't like Trump. Do she actually mm-hmm. think they're going to vote for her this coming November? Absolutely not. I mean, I know what the mm-hmm. polls are saying, that she will trounce Biden if it was a head-to-head, but that's all mm-hmm. smoke screens and mirror. They want her to think that. She knows that it's not true, but for some reason, she can't let it go. I mean, she came out this past weekend on Meet the Press, and she's saying that, you know, Trump, he has all of these legal issues, and we need to find out what's going to happen before the election. She's using the talking points of the Democrats. Mm-hmm. She knows that the Democrats don't, they want a speedy trial so that they're thinking we'll convict Trump and then the independents won't vote for him and that'll be it. But what if they get that speedy trial? And mind you, under the Constitution, a speedy trial is for the defendant, not the prosecutor. But the Democrats are once again redefining what a speedy trial is. The media mm-hmm. won't explain it, because they're in bed with the Democrats. So people will assume that, oh, that's right. We need a speedy trial. No, it doesn't work that way. It only works that way in Russia and China. And we saw what happened in Russia when Putin had an opponent to go against him. So are we becoming Russia? Are we becoming a communist country? Because if we are, no one told me, and I think I'm in the wrong place. But going back to our girl, Nikki, it's time for her to bow out gracefully. It's time for her to accept defeat. It's time for her to accept the footsteps of inevitability. It is not going to happen. There isn't a path. And I dare say, if the Democrats were to do something to somehow mysteriously stop Trump, I think that then I would want Vivek Ramaswamy or Ron DeSantis to step up. I will not vote for Nikki Haley. I don't want her there. She has shown her true colors, and her true colors is that of a rhino. She's in it for herself, because all she had to do was accept that I didn't win. Let me suspend my campaign like all of the others. And should something nefarious happen, I can regroup and enter the race again. But she has been on the sidelines using the Democrats' talking points and going hard at Trump. Why? Because she has these big donors that are never Trumpers. But I got to say, the Koch brothers have said, it's up. We're not giving you any more money. So who else is donating to her? Could it be George Soros? We know that a lot of Democrats are propping her up. But it's like she can't see through it. And she was such a promising new person in the Republican Party when she was the UN ambassador, when she was governor of South Carolina. And she mm-hmm. has allowed herself to be enthralled in all of this. And now look at her. What are your thoughts, Heather, before we move on to our topic for tonight?
Well, you know, real quick, Rob, I mean, I'm a Trump supporter. I think he did a fine job as president in terms of his policies. And a lot of the things he said, he was so criticized for, you know, are now acknowledged to be right on. So I mean, Haley is not my pick either. But listen, I know a lot of people who don't like Trump. They feel that he was a lightning rod, whether his fault or not, for so much controversy and division. And these are, I'm talking about good people, Rob, you know, a lot of our fellow conservatives, maybe not a lot, but a minority of them, veterans, older folks, a lot of people, they just don't want him. And they, you know, so I mean, I want him, but I mean, if she had a shot, if I certainly think we'd be a lot better off with her than Biden. And I would vote for any conservative over Biden. So, I mean, if she had a path to do it, I'd say go for it. I know there was some talk of a third party run, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So, yeah, I think things will sort themselves out. And I don't think it's really such a bad thing that she's hung in there. This is part of our democratic process, that there's not just two choices the whole way through. She, yeah, remember some years ago, I think it was 2008, when the Democrats were trying to push Hillary out prematurely because they wanted Obama. And a lot of Hillary supporters were very chagrined over that. And I understood it, even though I don't like Hillary. I mean, you know, if someone still has a lot of backing and support, why not let the process play out? I think it just makes it's respectful of democracy, you know, something that I think we really care about more than the left, which claims to care about democracy and in the name of democracy ban people like Trump from the ballot, right? But that's not how we do things. So let it play out, I say. And I think it'll be Trump. Yeah.
I'm okay with it playing out, but just like any other election that we've had in the past, once you see that there isn't a path for you, you bow out gracefully. So I don't think that now is a time for her to try and reinvent the wheel and want to call up, well, you know, we're a democracy and I have a right. I get it. But as it has been in the past, once you see that you don't have a path to victory, you bow out. Ron DeSantis did it. Vivek did it. Even Chris Christie, who had vowed to stay in just to be a foil for Donald Trump, he bowed out. Why is it that she can't do it? We know that this is a democracy. But at this point in the game, it's time to solidify the party, bring the party together, because we know that this is not going to be a cakewalk. We know that come November, October, the Democrats are going to pull everything they can to stop whoever the Republican nominee is. So I would think that at this juncture, she would say, I lost my own state. My own state rejected me, which is an embarrassment. And I guess we need to keep reminding her, your own state rejected you. And they rejected you resoundingly. So no matter where you go from here, your own state said no. So if you were the nominee, and if your own state were to vote, and if they still voted no, there's an issue. So she needs to take an assessment of herself and bow out. But like you said, she's entitled to stay in. She's not doing anyone any good. She's only hurting the party. We need to come together. And we know how difficult that is going to be. But I guess she's marching to the beat of a different drummer. All of her donors, well, like I said, the Koch brothers have stepped down. The guy who was the founder of Home Depot, he stepped aside and he said, you know, I will support her in 2028 if she steps aside now. This was when they were in New Hampshire, but she's yet to do it. She feels that no, I gotta stay in because they want me. They want me. No, Nikki, they don't. Chris Christie stepped aside. No, I don't know if we need to put Vivek out there to talk to her. Maybe then she'll see the writing on the wall. But at some point, I would hope she would do it. And Andrew and I, we spoke about this last night. I mean, is she trying to hold on until the Republican convention so that she could say, oh, I've got something to say. You guys have got to make me a primetime speaker because I'm going to say XYZ. What could she possibly say that's going to unify the party after she has been with sharp elbows against Trump? Nikki, it is time to step aside. You fought a good fight. It's over. You're not going to be the nominee. And if, God forbid, the Democrats were to do something nefarious to Donald Trump, I would ask for Ron DeSantis or Vivek to step up. We don't want you. You have shown your loyalty. You have shown your true colors, and it's not good. Get out while you can. That's all I'll say about that for now, of course. Anything else you want to add, Heather, before we move on?
No, I think you covered it.
Okay. So, Heather, this weekend, there were, when all of last week, we heard, rumors that Biden and his camp were sending messages to the Prime Minister of Israel for a ceasefire. Now, we've spoken about that before on the show, and I've always been amazed that even on October 7th, once Hamas, the terrorist group, attacked Israel, and Israel said, "We will respond," there was always a ceasefire. Don't do it. Don't do it. Wait, wait, wait. And I never understood what they would be waiting for. Why don't they want Israel to just go in and clean house? And then once Israel did go in and they saw that, wait a minute, they can actually take out Hamas. We saw people here, citizens here, and I think it was fueled by some fringe group. I will say, I think George Soros has his hand in it, started funding all of these protests. I mean, the other night there was a protest in my neighborhood. I looked out my window and I thought, oh my gosh, I saw all these Palestinians' flags saying, Free Palestine. And you go into the subway, people have written on the subway, Free Palestine. And these people don't have a clue as to what's happening. But now we see that there's like a major effort to get Israel to agree to a ceasefire. You even had Rashida Tlaib, Heather, during the Michigan primary last week. She was asking people not to vote for Biden. And there was a pretty significant group of people that did not vote. I mean, to me, that's scary because it's like, what are you guys trying to say here? Israel is one of our greatest allies. Do you want them to just to be slaughtered in the streets? Do you want them to be just completely eradicated from the region? And Heather, I think the answer is yes.
I mean,
And it's really sad.
I think I never know, does this hard left, the left in general, do they just not understand that Israel's enemies are genocidal? Or is it just that they're naive people who think October 7th was bad and terrible, of course, as any sane person would, but also think that the loss of life on the other side is so huge, and we're told anyway that there's a lot of civilian death. I don't really know that we can believe what's coming out of Hamas's mouth, but I'm sure there are innocent people suffering. There are, I wouldn't deny that. And so, are these protesters really, do they really have a heart for these, Palestinians? The thing that I think kind of gives away the insincerity of a lot of this, though, is, to me, anyone who's a genuine humanitarian would never call for a ceasefire without also demanding release of the hostages. I mean, if you can't demand release of captive innocent people who were just grabbed off the street for no reason, including children, you're no humanitarian. So, I mean, I think a lot of these people, they just like the other side. They're not really peaceniks or humanitarians. They prefer the Palestinians, even though Hamas is a terrorist organization and there's absolutely zero regard for human life on their side. They don't care. They like that side of it. And that's what I think most of it is. I mean, as you know, I am, a very much behind Israel, but, and I'm a Jewish American. I know what the realities are. I know that these fanatics would kill everybody they could if they could, and Israel has to do this, but I wish there were a better way too, Rob. I really wish there were a way that Israel could just get the terrorists. But we know that the terrorists embed themselves purposely among women and children, schools and the hospitals. This is how they fight. Some people say it's because they can't win, fighting head on. I also think that they have no regard for human life. I don't think they care about their own people. And so this is the situation. And, you know, in terms of what anybody should do, it's just, you know, it's really, really a tough one. I mean, I know the ceasefire proposal is out there, and it's hard to know what to wish for. I mean, I wish for it to go through because I want to see the hostages come home, and, you know, but I also want Israel to be able to get Hamas. So, you know, I just hope and pray that Israel's leadership has the wisdom and is doing the right things here.
You know, when I look at it, I go back to October 7th. Israel unexpectedly was attacked by a vicious terrorist group. The brutality of that day and the days that followed. Here we are some months later, and Hamas is still holding hostages. Hamas is still attacking Israel. As opposed to saying Israel cease fire, why isn't there more of a push for Hamas to cease fire? Why isn't there more of a push for Hamas to release the hostages? Why are they still holding on to the hostages? Israel Right. doesn't have any hostages. It's more so of a play that they know if we keep the hostages, we can negotiate. We have
yeah,
something that
sure.
we can hold over their head. But that's wrong. And why isn't Joe Biden and Tony Blinken not putting that out there? Why won't they leak that to the press that we want Hamas to release those innocent men and women? And again, there happens to be, I think, three Americans, be they American Jews, that are being held hostage. What happened to no man left behind, no one left behind? Now, we're up against a hard break. We're up against a hard break, and I'm going to take this up after the break because I really want to understand what's happening here. And as a, like you said, Heather, as a Jewish woman, as a black man, I support Israel completely. And I think that we need to allow them to finish the job. You're listening to After Dark, Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
And we're back with my co-host tonight, Heather Robinson of the New York Post. And when we went to break, I was saying that I think there was three American hostages that were being held. But then Heather said that she thought that there were seven. But she says something also that was interesting is that we actually don't know the number exactly because we don't hear a lot about the hostages that are being held. It's more so ceasefire, what Israel is doing. Israel is committing genocide, as if though Israel is the bad person here. And we did a show once here, Heather, and we had a guest on, and he even said that Hamas is winning the propaganda war. And if Hamas is winning the propaganda war, Israel has to win the ground war. And I would hope America would get behind Israel and support Israel 100%. But when I started hearing these stories that are being leaked that we need a ceasefire and Israel needs to stop doing this, and I'm thinking, but what about Hamas? This is a known terrorist group, Heather. Mm-hmm. And what do they hope to, in your opinion, I've never been to Israel, I think you have, but what do they mm-hmm. hope to gain with the ceasefire? I see that there's a lot of leverage. I see a lot of positive things that Hamas will gain from this, but what will Israel gain from a ceasefire, in your opinion, Heather, if anything?
Only nothing other than release of the hostages. That's the thing. As far as I can see, I mean, Israel could crush, I mean, I don't mean to sound harsh, but truth is Israel could crush all these people tomorrow. I mean, that's what people forget, is Israel has the greater military might and nuclear weapons. And if Israel weren't merciful, you know, I mean, and didn't care about the laws of war and whatever else, they'd all be gone tomorrow. I mean, Israel doesn't have to make a deal, except that we want our people back, our hostages, and frankly, we don't want to kill innocent Palestinians. Israel doesn't, you know, Israelis are so caricatured by the left that the truth of the matter is, I mean, I, you know, Rob, I'm not saying every Israeli is so perfect, but I mean, anyone who knows Jewish culture and really gets it knows that this is a culture of life, of family, of protecting children. I mean, there's nothing more central to our whole way of life than that. You know, very much like Christian culture in that way. So, I mean, you can imagine, I mean, how you would feel, or any good Christian would feel, having to go to war like this and trying to get terrorists, but having them deeply embedded intentionally among the hospitals and schools and kids and families. I mean, it breaks our heart too. We don't want to kill innocent people. So, I mean, Israel also has the only thing Israel gets from a ceasefire is getting our innocent people back and not having to kill, you know, more Palestinians, which they don't even want to do. They just want to get the terrorists and to put a stop to this endless Islamist campaign to destroy Israel. So, I mean, the short answer is really Israel doesn't have, you know, I mean, much to gain. This is why Hamas took these hostages in the first place. It's their only leverage. They, you know, and I don't believe for a second Hamas cares about their people. You know, they set it all up in the first place. They knew that this would incur attacks on their people. Their hate is stronger than their love. And they, you know, they just, but I mean, they are the ones who really, I mean, they're getting crushed. They, you know, Israel would keep on crushing them. But we want the hostages back. That's what Israel really wants. And however, the big downside for Israel in any deal is that it protects Hamas. It lets these monsters live for one more day or week or a year or 10 years and plan more of this. So that's the thing. That's why, you know, it's a hard thing. You know, I don't know what to hope for exactly. I mean, I just hope for Israel to get Hamas and for us to get our people back. And for this to end. So, yeah.
Well, I think the other thing, like you mentioned, is that, you know, Israel is being methodical and careful and deliberate in that they don't want the bloodshed of more people on their side or the Palestinians. You don't see that.
Well, they want to get Hamas. They want to get Hamas.
Well, yes. They want to get Hamas, but you don't see that same deliberate approach on the side of Hamas. Hamas doesn't care who they're killing.
Oh, and
they're killing their own people.
Yeah, they want these people to die. That's why that gives them a PR victory. That's why they won't get out from among their civilians. You know, in addition to this giving them protection, when their civilians die, that just gives them PR in the eyes of the international left and all this support. And so, you know, this dynamic works for them. This is what they do. They commit crimes and then they run back and hide among their kids, and then they cry when Israel, you know, comes for them. That's what they do. It's what they've been doing for you know, 70 plus years, and the world falls for it every time.
The left is definitely falling for it because, again, they're not calling out Hamas. They're not saying, why aren't you guys being deliberate? Why aren't you trying to protect lives?
Right. Right. Why exactly from the start? I mean, the one thing I do give Harris, I don't know if she deserves credit. She may just be a mouthpiece, but today she said Hamas claims it wants a ceasefire. Well, there's a deal on the table. You know, in other words, they have to agree, they have to release these hostages. How much can you cry about your losses when you won't release these innocent people? They know what the terms are. They won't do it. And the international left refuses to simply tell them to do it. I mean, they're all on their feet crying over the death of the Palestinians, but they know there's an easy way to make it stop, and they won't do it. And well, they won't stop their...
Well, they won't stop. And that's the thing that's so heart-wrenching about this, when you see innocent lives that are being killed. And you, as you said, Kamala Harris said that there's a deal on the table. Well, there has been a deal on the table from day one. All that Hamas has to do is to pick up and leave the area. Why is it that you won't have the surrounding Muslim countries allowing the Palestinians to come in? For one, Hamas won't let them leave Palestine. Number two, these other Muslim countries don't want them because they're afraid of them. The media will not tell us about that. The media says nothing about it. And then you have here in America, Rashida Tlaib, who's supposed to be a U.S. congresswoman, coming out almost preaching the death of Israel. She and Ilhan Omar. I don't know how these women got to Congress. Well, I know how. Again, if you look at the area, you look at their districts, you wouldn't at all be surprised. But I question if all of these individuals are truthful American citizens. Because we have people that are coming in at the border. We don't know who they are. We don't know if they've been processed. So they're coming in, and I think that they're voting illegally. Now, we'll never know because we have an FBI that is corrupt. And I will submit to you again, as I submitted last night, the seat of our government needs to leave corrupt DC. The FBI really needs to leave DC and move to Texas, Florida, Idaho, Iowa, but away from the swamp. Because I don't think they can be effective in their job. Christopher Wray is corrupt, in my opinion, and he's no use to us. Because he's not, you look at the border, and you look at the people that are coming here, and we know nothing about them. And then you look last week at this young woman, we spoke about this last night, and the week before, Laken Riley, who was killed, murdered, at the hands of an illegal. Joe Biden will not mention her name. Now, I will submit to you this as well. If the Supreme Court, who's now saying that they will hear Trump's immunity argument, if they rule that he does not have immunity, then I will be the first person to file a lawsuit against Joe Biden for crimes against America. And I would hope that family would file a lawsuit against him as well, because her death is on his hands because of his actions. So when you look at this in totality and you see where this is going, people will start to wake up. But of course, the media won't point this out to you. They're only looking at it at one side, so that people will only look at it at one side, the same way they're looking at the Hamas deal and saying that Israel needs to do a ceasefire, and no one is saying anything about Hamas, the terrorist group. I dare say Hamas is probably here in America, entered from our southern border. But we will never know. Until something bad happens, because our FBI is compromised. And because of the indoctrination, so many, Heather, it's amazing. It's amazing at the same time is also sad at the number of people who have been brainwashed and indoctrinated into thinking that Israel is a bad guy. And as you said during the first block, we're not saying that all Israelis are perfect. I'm not saying all Americans are perfect. Okay. But we are saying that when your sole purpose is to go out and try to eradicate a group of people, to wipe them off the face of the earth, and then you want to justify it and say, oh, we're doing the right thing. A group of people who weren't doing anything on October 7th, some people were attending musical festivals, some were at home, and then to be snatched from your family, to be burned alive. And then there are no consequences, and the media is treating it as if though it's no big deal. It was horrific. If you go and you read the stories, it was horrible. That was a genocide act. But here in America, the America media, it's like, oh, it's no big deal. Just a group of people got killed. Okay, move on.
Well, you know, I have to say, Rob, I'm not so sure that I quite agree with your characterization there. I think on October 7th, most of the media, I mean, I was watching Fox and CNN. I think they really did some decent coverage of the horrors, you know, maybe if only because it was a sensationalistic story. I don't really think the liberal media failed to see how horrific. I think that now, though, really, you know, they're the handmaidens of this hard left and this naive left. And look, I mean, I don't say that it's not sad and not tragic, the loss of life on the Palestinian side too. I mean, there's a lot of children are dying. It's horrible. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. And I get it. The media is covering it. But I think that what's wrong here, as you say, is that the real culprits in the whole thing, the people who started it, the people who are driving it, the people who orchestrated it all manipulatively to put these children in harm's way, to score this ridiculous PR victory against Israel and grabbing innocent people off the street and dragging them, raping them, mutilating them, is Hamas. I mean, that's who anybody who's a humanitarian should be first outraged at. And that's what's you know, that there people are just falling for this manipulation. That's who's responsible for the loss of life on both sides. That's who's driving the whole thing. And, but, you know, I do understand the concern already. I mean, however, I mean, this is a war. This is a war started and perpetuated by Hamas, by Islamist extremists. America wouldn't do any different if God forbid, thousands of our people were being butchered in the streets. Nor did we do any different. I mean, you know, we started wars in two different countries, you know, who, you know, arguably the Afghan government had some culpability, you know, the Taliban, they were sheltering bin Laden, but I mean, they hadn't even waged it. But I mean, how many Afghan civilians did we kill? How many Iraqi civilians did we kill? You know, I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying it was tragic. It was equally tragic. There weren't cameras there to the same extent. There wasn't, I mean, you know, yes, we did see some protests to that as well, but I don't think, you know, I mean, I think that America or any country would be, you know, fighting a war, and war is ugly, you know, so I do think there's a double standard here. I do think that Israel is especially vilified for fighting a war in which the enemy is purposely ensconcing itself among civilians. And instead of blaming the enemy who's done that, people are blaming Israel. And that's not right.
I don't think that when this happened on October 7th, you did have some news outlets for a second, an hour, because they didn't understand what was going on, but it quickly changed. I don't think it has changed back since then. You have people on the Hill as well that are playing this down, and how the media has managed to make Israel the bad guy. I go back to what Trump had said. They are the enemy of the people. There are some few and far between who are trying to get it right, like here on After Dark with Robin Andrew, like yourself, Heather. But I think the media has done a disservice to this war. They've done a disservice in reporting the facts, and it's almost as if though they have an agenda. And it's scary when you see people out in the streets supporting Hamas, not really understanding the background of this. It just goes back to, like I said, the show that we did. Hamas is winning the propaganda of this. They have everyone thinking that Israel is at fault. And I just submit to all of my listeners, whom I'm sure are aware of this, but some of the new people that are listening, were completely unaware of what's happening, that on October 7th, it was not Israel that attacked the Palestinians. It was Hamas that attacked Israel. This was planned. This was a concerted effort. And unfortunately, they managed to butcher, I think, almost like 2,000 individuals, innocent men, women, and children. And to me, I don't make a difference between men, women, and children because it was a life. And then to take some hostage and then to say, we will return them. And they're yet to return them. And now we're talking about a ceasefire. And then there's a pressure on Israel to cease fire. In my humble opinion, this will give Hamas further ground for them to regroup and to launch another brutal attack. Why is it anyone telling Hamas, leave the hospitals, stop hiding behind innocent civilians? If you want to fight, step up and fight like real soldiers. I don't want to hear this, oh, well, Hamas got the upper hand because look at what they did. Yes, they're hiding behind innocent lives. And to me, that's a coward. That's a coward act. You're being cowards, taking a life. And not just a life of Israelis, but the life of innocent Palestinians. And then you want to blame Israel. I just don't understand how we got here with this administration, with Tony Blinken. I don't get it. And as we said on the last show that you were on, Heather, we were asking the question, are Republicans or Democrats better for Blacks and for Jews? And at this point, I would say Republicans. But I think that Black people and Jewish people have always moved in the direction of Democrats because they felt that their policies or they had sympathy for them. But now we see that that's not the case. And I want to pick this up on the other side of the break. Want to discuss, continue that conversation about the ceasefire and who's best in line to listen to the needs of the Jewish community as well as Black community. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body. And now they found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Carter, this has been a really good conversation that we're having about the ceasefire and who's going to benefit from it. But during the break, we were talking, having a separate conversation, and you raised a valid question about the children and getting children out of harm's way and just let the men fight. You want to share that with our listeners?
I feel bad for the children. I mean, first of all, for our Jewish children, it's unthinkable that Hamas is still holding some of them. It's unthinkable, number one. And, you know, I also feel sorry for Palestinian children, second. Any child is a child. And I think that this outcry on behalf of the Palestinians, I really wonder, you know, are any of these people trying to do anything to protect children for real? Is there any effort to evacuate women and children from this area? I think probably not, because I think Hamas wants them there because they, you know, they protect Hamas. I mean, this is, you know, Hamas, the brave fighters of Hamas, you know, that's how they're hanging on to their lives, is to hide among these people. But these humanitarians, these people around the world who supposedly care about Palestinians, why don't they, you know, instead of just screaming about, you know, having more aid dumped in there, why don't they try to get, why doesn't someone start an effort to evacuate women and children from there and let the men fight it out?
That's a good question. Why won't they do it? I doubt seriously that Hamas would allow the children to leave. You look at what's happened to the Palestinians. They won't even allow them to cross the border into Jordan, not that Jordan would accept them. Because when this war first broke out and they tried to leave, Jordan said, you're not coming here. Then I think there was a negotiations and they said, okay, we'll let some. But if not the adults, the men, what about the mothers and the children? Why not allow them to a free passage to come across? Because they want to use that as a crux. They want to use it so that they can say, Israel killed these innocent children. Look at what Israel has done. And each time there was a large number of civilians killed, what happens? The media immediately runs to it and say, well, we don't know what happened, but it looks like. And then the next thing you know, they're blaming Israel. And then Israel comes back using their intelligence and their investigation. They say, no, we didn't do it. We did the forensics and it wasn't our artillery. It was that of Hamas. And then the story dies down. So the story that Israel did it is still there. And then you have Americans in the street saying, oh, it's blood on your hands. Remember when this war first broke out and you had pictures of individuals who had gone missing, not knowing if they were held hostage or killed. They were like all over the subways here in New York City. And people were like mad and said, I'm taking this down. I don't want to see this. We saw the same thing during 9/11. We saw pictures of people's loved ones. They were posted all over. Have you seen this person?
Yes.
Why would someone, the picture isn't doing anything to you. Why would you want to tear it down? You see how the indoctrination of the left is so effective?
I have a theory about why, Rob. I think it's because the pictures of these innocent people taken hostage, you're right, no sane person would be offended by that. But I think the left, the Palestinians and their supporters and many on the hard left, they are used to having a monopoly on perceived suffering. Suffering and victimhood are their calling card, their unique possession in their minds. It's a deeply self-centered worldview where they are the only people who suffer, you know, or as we used to say in Yiddish, no one suffers like them. You know, they're martyrs. They are people who enjoy being the victim. That's the source of their power. That's their political ideology. And, you know, we've all known people who have these tendencies in life. Let's face it, life is hard and, you know, nobody wants to suffer. But some people get a certain amount of power and they manipulate by playing the victim, by having a pity party. You know, by feeling sorry for themselves and gaining sympathy and help from others based on their being a poor, you know, victim. And I think that the left, the political left in America, is especially like this. And I think the Palestinians, you know, unfortunately, they play on this. And I think that the sad thing is there is a lot of suffering in their lives, and I wouldn't deny that. And I just think that there's a lot of, I mean, they're not the only people in the world who suffer any more than, you know, any group of people is. And a lot of the catechism of the left, as we know, Rob, as you and I talk about all the time, is that only one type of person is a victim. Only one type of person is an oppressor. You can make a lot of assumptions about somebody and what they deserve and who they are based on the color of their skin, based on their religion, based on where they, you know, whether they're Israeli, whether they're Palestinian. So I think that to see that the October 7th massacre was so egregious, the brutality was so extreme, the perpetrators were acting so evil and proud of it and filming it, it was so ugly and undeniable, that this made the left so uncomfortable because it undermined their whole paradigm, which is that everyone on their side is a pure angel who suffers at the hands of the wicked, wealthier, lighter-skinned, you know, oppressor. And because this was a case of undeniable, blatant, extreme mass evil being perpetrated and bragged about, it didn't fit in. And the victims on the Israeli side, and it was not just Israelis, people from countries all over the world, elderly, children, girls, men, young men, just grabbed, hacked, butchered, raped, dragged off in the middle of, you know, broad daylight, you know, just grabbed off the street for no reason other than their, you know, being on the other side of something politically. It was so undeniable that the left didn't want to see it. They didn't want to see it because of their own belief system, which is that they and everybody they support is an innocent victim and the other side is pure evil. Now, I think our side is the right side. But even I mean, sure as I am of that, I would never deny their suffering. We don't do that. I mean, we don't sit here and say no Palestinian child is suffering and we don't want to see it and it didn't happen and it's not, because, you know, we're mature people who take responsibility. We understand, you know, we're supporting something that sadly is necessary, but we feel sorry to even have to support it. And we our hearts ache for any innocent person on the other side suffering, but they're not like that. They, you know, they want this sanctimonious, total monopoly on suffering. So that's why they tore down those posters, because these were pictures of innocent women and men and children whose suffering couldn't be denied. And they, the left, didn't want the cognitive dissonance that we experience, Rob, every day. You know we have to support what we believe in, but we don't pretend we're so perfect and our side so perfect and the other side doesn't suffer and nobody ever on our side made a mistake or did anything that wasn't but that's how they think. They think that only their side has the right to empathy and sympathy, and that, you know, how dare Jewish people or, you know, anybody claim, you know, that we are suffering. They didn't want to see, they're too self-centered to see the suffering of our side. That's why. And it threatens their narrative. That's why I think they tore down those pictures.
Out of sight, out of mind. Like you said, they were being forced to look at the ugliness, the brutality
of what they
happened.
Yeah.
Of what they support, right. And they couldn't handle it. So it's best to get this out of sight. We don't want to see it. Let's pretend as if though it didn't exist. It never existed. How horrible, how cruel. And yet and still here we are, with them asking Israel, once again, roll over, lay down, let them have their way. Even if a ceasefire is going to give them more momentum, that's okay. Let them have it. Why? So that they can continue their brutality, so that they can regroup? and find out other ways to cause more harm, more brutality? This is horrible. It's a horrible way of thinking things. It's a horrible plan. You have to go in and eradicate. You have to go in and rip out the evil. Take it out completely. And as you said during the first block, Heather, Israel has the capacity to go in and just put the complete kaboom on it and say, okay, done, dust it, let's move on. But as I said, they're being methodical. They're looking at this. They're trying to save lives. Even if our government under Joe Biden and Tony Blinken is putting pressure on them to cease fire, don't do it. No, you got to stop. Look the other way. They're trying to protect their citizens. And we would want the same thing of our government. But you know what, Heather? We're not getting that. And that's the reason why we see so many people coming in at the border. We see illegals that are coming in at the border. If Joe was concerned about our citizens the way he's concerned about the citizens of Ukraine, the citizens of any other country that's coming here illegally, Laken Riley would be alive today if he was so concerned. But he isn't. And I'm going to go on a ledge and I'm going to say it. He's not concerned. He hasn't even called the woman's family. But he was quick to pick up the phone to call George Floyd's family. They were quick to protest in the street for George Floyd. They were quick to make certain that his funeral was broadcast on all the TV stations. And Andrew and I talked about this last night. But for an American citizen, okay. We said no one left behind. Look at what happened in Afghanistan. America's left behind. Well, we told them to meet us here, and it was up to them to meet us here. But what about no one left behind? And then there's 13 soldiers that were killed. I didn't see their funeral services being broadcast on TV. We did see the caskets coming home and Joe Biden looking at his watch. And Andrew and I spoke about this last night. But just imagine if Joe Biden was concerned about American citizens the way he's concerned about the citizens of other countries. The same way Israel is concerned about its citizens, wanting to make certain that they're protected, wanting to make certain that they can bring their citizens home to their loved ones, to the bosom of their family. Just imagine if Joe Biden had just an ounce of that concern, he and Tony Blinken. They're innocent children, Jewish children, that are being killed, that are being held hostage. They won't be coming back home. And the only thing Joe Biden's administration could say is, Israel, just take it down a level. Let's do a ceasefire. Let's think this thing through. What about Israel? You do a ceasefire, and Hamas, you better release those hostages. Hamas, you better get the hell out of Israel, out of those little locations that you're hiding. Leave the hospitals. Stop hiding behind innocent citizens. How about telling them that, as opposed to trying to direct Israel as to what they should do and what they need to do? Has anyone in that administration even thought about it? I don't think so, because we see how they're looking at American citizens, at the carnage that has been set upon our land because of illegals, police officers being beat up, citizens being shot at, and then they catch them and then they release them. A whole new meaning to catch and release without any consequences. Gangs come into America. As if they're, oh no, America, it's okay, we can handle this. Our streets are riddled with criminal activity. So I wouldn't expect anything less of this administration to go to Israel without any shame and tell them, ceasefire, you need to do it. We want you to do it. And I'm saying it just like talking about it like really casually. But just imagine the pressure that they're putting on the prime minister behind the scenes. And I've heard that it is like really unbelievable. Tony Blinken. It's sad. Because as we opened up the segment saying, Heather, what about those innocent kids that they could remove out of harm's way so that they could see a tomorrow? And with their families. I mean, okay, if you want to keep them in, fine. What about the women and the children? Release them. What about the older individuals? Release them to their families. But they won't do it.
And no one's going to pressure them. It's horrible,
Heather. And when I think, and that's the reason why we talk about it on this show, because I don't want people to forget. They need to remember that these are innocent individuals, innocent citizens. On October 7th, their lives were forever changed, the same way our lives were changed on 9/11, 2001. You don't forget about it. I mean, I think sometimes that our media wants us to forget about it. They try to downplay it the same way they tried to downplay the failed withdrawal from Afghanistan, didn't want to talk about it, pretended as though, oh, it didn't happen, let's look the other way. The same way they have done when the beginning of Black History Month, there were three Black soldiers who were killed overseas thanks to Iran, compliments of Iran, and this administration just played it down. The media wants to say nothing about it. That's the reason why we keep talking about it, because we can't forget it. If you forget your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I think that's what's happening. People have forgotten about the Holocaust because the media wants to pretend as if though it didn't happen. Maybe it's make-believe. Let's not tie the two together. But they can always manage to talk about racism and slavery and all the other stuff to get Black people all emotional and thinking, don't vote for Republicans, you better vote for Democrats, when in essence they have done absolutely nothing for the Democrats for the past 60 years since the Civil Rights Movement. They have done nothing that has been effective for Blacks or the Jewish community. And now we see their true colors, and look at what they have done, a complete breakdown of what we thought we had and our allies with Israel. They have completely just demolished it. Now we're coming toward the end of the show. And I say to you again, we keep talking about this because we don't want to forget it. The lives of those Israelis mattered. We cannot forget about October 7th. And we will continue to talk about it until this entire thing has been resolved. And I think Israel can do it. I think America needs to stand down and support Israel and allow Israel to do what it needs to do, which is to eradicate the region of Hamas. You've been listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform with my co-host tonight, Heather Robinson. We hope you enjoyed this conversation, and we hope you will share it once the podcast come up. As my dear friend Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. Good night. God bless. God save America, and God save Israel. Thank you.